On the Record
on News Talk,
brought to you by PwC. Great minds think unalike. It all adds up to the new equation.
Now, it doesn't take long leafing through today's papers to come across a story that you might not have seen coming, but which might have been in the works for a little while. And even though at this point it is only a certain amount of speculation, there is now some concern that the UK might not be the last country out of the EU and that it could be followed by Poland. Polexit is something that you see written in some of today's papers, and it's all to do with a row over whether domestic law surpasses European law. Shona Murray from Euronews is on the line. Shona, good afternoon, and thanks very much for talking to us as ever. We will get the latest on the Brexit protocol and the whole row about the ECJ and where exactly we're going from here in just a minute. But first of all, you might just explain for our listeners how exactly this row has erupted between Brussels and Warsaw.
Well, this is the latest clash between Poland and the European Union in relation to things around rule of law. And we had a couple of weeks ago the Polish Constitutional Tribunal, which is a part of the Polish judicial system or justice system, which the European Court of Justice has already ruled as illegitimate. But anyway, it ruled that said that the Polish constitution is supreme to EU law. Now, obviously, that is news to the European Union and the European Commission, which is the guardian of the EU treaties, because, of course, when you join the European Union, you have to accept the implications of membership, which is that, of course, EU law is supreme to all national laws and constitutions. So this is a sort of a clash. Now, it relates in particular to one of the articles, Article 2, where the EU has been criticising Poland. That deals with sort of respect for human dignity, freedom, democracy, equality, rule of law, and support for minorities. Now, we know that the Polish government, or at least the ruling party there, has used anti-LGBT sort of propaganda against gay people, against minorities, and has come under the European Court of Justice for this. So this is why the Polish government is now saying, well, actually, you can't take us to court over our attacks against the LGBT community because we're entitled to do it anyway. And so it's, like I said, it's been a long clash with this government and the EU in relation to migrants, refugees and so on. And I think now it's been taken very seriously because, as you said, there are people saying, well, Poland can't be a member of the European Union if it doesn't accept that EU law is supreme.
Yeah, well, this is it. This is where the rubber meets the road, really. So you can have as many different disputes between national capitals and Brussels as you like, but ultimately it's been a foundational part of European law for decades now, that if there's ever a conflict between European law and domestic law, that the European one does take precedence. But how likely is it then? And I know it's our only early days, and I don't know whether anyone is really advocating for this, but how likely is it that this can all be smoothed over in some way, or is there a real prospect that Poland could start the process of just deciding that they don't want to be part of the club anymore?
Well, I mean, if you look at, Gavin, what Poland gets out of the European Union, in this seven-year budget alone, you're talking about 120 billion euro of cohesion funding for the economy. The cohesion funding is money that countries like Ireland used to get. It essentially means that they can sort of improve their economies to compete with the likes of Germany and France and so on. Out of the recovery fund, it's due to get 30 billion euro of grants, no, 24 billion euro of grants and about 10 billion euro of loan. That's 24 billion euro of free money. Why would any government or country remove themselves from a situation like that? Access to the single market. And of course, looking at the economic implications for Brexit in the UK, looking on at Britain, why would any government do it? On top of that, though, moreover, I would say, Gav, 89% of people in Poland support EU membership. So the likelihood is that you'd have the government fall rather than Poland leaving the European Union.
So then what does Brussels do then? So if there's no appetite to leave the EU, then it sort of seems like the ruling government in Warsaw is kind of having its cake and eating it, because it gets to ignore the bits of European law that it doesn't like, but it still gets to cherry pick all the benefits as well, which seems like exactly the sort of stuff that the Brussels has spent the last 5 years trying to stop Britain doing.
Exactly. And also the contagion effect of that, Gav, as well, across the European Union, because, of course, the rules-based system is really the cornerstone of how the EU operates. And we, not just from a legal perspective, but also because you see this seeping sort of far-right nationalistic approach emerging from Eastern European countries and Central European countries like Poland, like Hungary, like Slovenia. So it has to put a stop to it now. Essentially what the Commission, well, they haven't advised exactly how they're going to do it, but there will be infringement proceedings. The Polish government will end up at the European Court of Justice. There will be daily fines until the infringements stop. And so that's essentially where we're at. You could have, there's other articles within the treaties that could suspend Poland's voting rights, but we don't know if it'll get to that, because every other member state has to support that, and you can guarantee that Hungary would vote against it in support of Poland. So, but I think that the Commission will have to take it very seriously now. It's kind of coming under huge pressure from the Parliament and other member states, and it is up on the agenda for next week's European Council meeting, which would be quite an awkward one.
So just before we then we move on to what's going on with Brexit, then what is the likely next steps then for the European Commission? Do they decide to maybe suspend a lot of the money tap that you talked about a few minutes ago, or what is the first step to try and get Poland back in line, if you like?
So already the European Commission has not supported Poland's 24 billion euro grants out of the European Recovery Fund. Okay. And that's why there's a belief that this has all emerged from as well. That Poland is trying to threaten the European Commission, give us our money or we'll threaten the rule of law system. And so that's why this is such a big issue. But likely the Commission, after the Council this week, when there'll be agreement amongst member states how to act, will initiate infringement proceedings. What we saw this week was actually a doubling down by the Polish government on this case, saying that it fully supported the judgment at the Constitutional Tribunal. Mm. So it is doubling down. So this will be a major clash. And, you know, it actually is incredibly important to see how the Commission decides to move to protect European law.
Yeah, a tweeter, Roy, makes the observation that, you know, it's a rules-based system unless you're Germany or France. And I suppose he does raise a point that some of the bigger countries have gotten away with picking and choosing when they abide by, not necessarily the rule of law, but some questions around budgeting and how they run the country. And they've managed to get off scot-free in other ways. So people might wonder then, why would they clamp down on some of the other newer accession, if you like, weaker countries? Or are they only clamping down on them because they reckon they're weak?
Well, they haven't been strong, and that's the whole point of this. You know, if you look at what has happened in Hungary over the past 10 or 12 years, the backsliding of democracy, of values, of European law, the Commission, the member states, has essentially appeased the likes of Viktor Orban and appeased Poland over the last 10 years at least. And that's why this is so problematic now, that they haven't been strong enough to use and initiate infringement proceedings against these countries. And that's why it's so particularly bad. And in relation to others, in relation to, for example, the Constitutional Court in Germany, the German government decided not to implement that ruling. And in the case of Poland, it was a Polish government that asked the Constitutional Tribunal to rule. Now, remember, the reason this Constitutional Tribunal is illegitimate is because it's heavily influenced by the government. So it's not seen as an independent court at all. So you see that this is an aggravation from the Polish government rather than any other case across Europe.
All right. Speaking of the independence of courts, that's become a real issue or bone of contention in the ongoing discussions around the Northern Ireland Protocol, because now you have the British government once again complaining about the ECJ, the European Court of Justice, being the ultimate arbiter in cases of the impact of that protocol. Now, that's the ECJ that the UK signed up to. That was the whole arbitration mechanism when they signed the deal on Christmas Eve last year. People might remember it. Why now are they complaining? And does it raise some questions as to whether the ECJ is always going to be loaded in favour of Brussels rather than London when it comes to any debates that might be sent its way?
Well, it doesn't necessarily. I mean, the court doesn't just deals with single market rules. Essentially, Northern Ireland is only in the EU single market for goods. So the idea that there would be a case ever really before the European Court of Justice is very minimal, because within the withdrawal agreement, you have the Joint Commission where arbitration takes place. So it'd be almost impossible to see a case where the European Court of Justice will be interpreting how the UK, sees its, you know, implements European law in Northern Ireland, first of all. And this, it was agreed, obviously, as we know, obviously the ECJ in the withdrawal agreement that does Northern Ireland Protocol, it was actually agreed in October 2019.
Right, okay.
So remember that Boris Johnson, in fact, used this deal as oven-ready Brexit, the best deal ever. Mm. He reopened, remember, when he took over as Prime Minister, his position was that he'd reopen the withdrawal agreement that was signed up to by Theresa May and get rid of the backstop. So yeah, they did reopen the withdrawal agreement, and instead he made the backstop essentially the permanent solution for Northern Ireland. There was no discussion about concerns around the European Court of Justice, and there wouldn't be, because it doesn't really, as I mentioned there, you know, it wouldn't really come into play. And so the idea that this is a sovereign issue is really just, as a lot of people are saying in Brussels now, seemingly a red herring.
Well, if it's a red herring, then what do you think the British government is getting at? Because if you're saying, you just reminded us that they actually signed up to the jurisdiction of the ECJ in 2019, then why pick this fight now? Why go 2 years down the road and then only remember that this is a red line that you can't accept any further?
Well, this is obviously the key question, Gavin, because nobody can understand it. So the interpretation and speculation is that the UK just wants to have continuous clash and confrontation with the EU because it's suitable. And also that, if the ECJ is taken out of Northern Ireland in terms of its present single market, Northern Ireland can't. Northern Ireland, a lot of people are saying that, well, Northern Ireland doesn't have bare shelves, for example, in supermarkets, and maybe they don't want to see the juxtaposition of Northern Ireland in the single market for goods versus the rest of the UK, which has problems with stock and so on. But I've spoken to British officials about this, and their position is, you may be surprised at this, but they said, well, look what the EU did in January of this year when they triggered Article 16 for a couple of hours and then obviously rescinded that. Well, on the basis of this, and then there was another incident at the start of the year when in relation to steel tariffs from the UK to Northern Ireland, which shouldn't have been applied, they say there's been two mistakes, therefore we can't trust the EU and the ECJ with Northern Ireland because it's our jurisdiction. Which is very, very scant basis for not trusting the EU, but that's the type of thing that they'll say to you. Otherwise, there is no other really conclusion as to why they introduced it in July as a matter of sovereignty.
Okay, Seán Murray, European correspondent with Euronews. Thanks very much for joining us this lunchtime.